Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oaks. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'm founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oaks and David Oaks Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Today we're going to begin to listen to a sermon that was ministered recently in our church on the subject of the Father's compassion. You know, the Bible calls for us to be imitators of the Almighty God, and that even includes being an imitator of His compassion. So it's good to go through the Word of God and find out how God's compassion compels God to act and to react in situations with us in this earth. So we invite you to sit back, take a listen to the first part of this sermon on the Father's compassion. We'll be back later to close out this podcast with a few words. Now be blessed as we join this service in progress.
Well, today is our anniversary, my wife, my anniversary. Praise the Lord. 26 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I thought, you know, since we're going to be in church on our anniversary, I didn't skip out. No siree, Bob. Hallelujah. I said, honey, what would you like for me to preach on tonight? The least I can do for her is to speak on something that she wants to hear about on our anniversary. Praise the Lord. And so she told me, she said, I want you to preach on love. And I said, okay. I said, I can do her. Hallelujah. God's good. So tonight we're going to speak on the Father's compassion, and you're going to see the love of God in this subject. First, let's look at five scriptures. Five scriptures. Psalm 78. We don't want tonight to so much define love, but we want to see how love manifests itself in the life of God. Since we are to be imitators, we need to see how it manifests itself. Glory to God. Love, God's kind of love, is agape. You know, when we go through the New Testament, we find scriptures that say, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That word love there is really blind to those of us who are English speakers. Instead of translating the word, they should have just transliterated it and brought it from the Greek text into English. We could have anglicized it, but not translate it, and just left it as agape, and then gone on to define agape. How God so agape'd the world that He gave His only begotten Son, because so much of the time when the world hears the word love, they think of sexual attraction. That's not love. That's a very shallow love. God, the God kind of love, is agape. And it motivates God and motivates man to act in ways that are totally odd and strange to the world. And truly, it causes people to act in a way that's strange to the majority of the church. Psalm 78, if you would please, just the first part of verse 38, and we'll be coming back here in a few minutes. But He, speaking of the Father God, but He being full of compassion. Notice what it says of the Lord, He is full of compassion. Psalm 86, if you would please, and there are lots of scriptures to look at. Because we want to see how compassion, which we'll find in a moment, love acts. Verse 15. But Thou, Psalm 86:15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Notice what it says about our Lord God again. Thou art a God that is full of compassion. Not, he doesn't have any voids in Him. He is totally full of this thing called compassion. Let's look at another one. Psalm 111, if you would please. Psalm 111. Verse 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord Jehovah is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 112, verse 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The scriptures keep repeating this, that God is full of compassion. He is full of it, full of this thing called compassion. Psalm 145, if you would, please. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Notice it again. The Word of God is very distinct when it relates to us that our God is a God not only of compassion, but that is full of compassion. Look with me, if you would please, to Lamentations. Lamentations. And then in a moment we're going to define compassion. Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I like that because it's in the plural. His compassions. Whatever area we need the compassion of God in, his compassion goes to all of those different areas. And not only do they go to all those different areas, but they never fail. They fail not. His compassion is able, glory be to God, to set us over in any area because God's full of compassion. Notice what it says. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Notice this about his compassions. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning means fresh always and continually. Every morning when we wake up, something dynamic has happened over the evening. Is God's compassions have become new. They become fresh and they become continual from that moment to the next moment. God's compassions are always fresh. He never runs out of compassion. It never grows old. It is always new in God. He is always full with a new compassion. You can't take God to the end of his compassion, because it's always new. It never wears out. Now, compassion, what does it mean? In Hebrew, it means this: to fondle, by implication, to love, to show mercy. Fondle means to touch or handle lovingly. Sometimes the word fondle in our modern day is used in a negative fashion. But the primary meaning means to touch or handle lovingly. So just see God. God is a God of compassion, that he handles us lovingly, that he caresses us, that he loves us, that he shows his mercy towards us. Get in our mind, God, if God had natural physical arms, the only places he's got it is through his church now. But God is in heaven with this freshness every morning of this compassion, where he caresses and holds and touches the body of Christ, but not only the body of Christ, all who will come to him. God is there as a loving father. Caress means a tender or loving touch or embrace. So we don't want so much to define love, compassion, but we want to see how it manifests itself in the life of God. And since we are the imitators of God, we need to see how it manifests itself so that we can be sure that it manifests that way in our life. Go back with me to Psalm 78, if you would, please. Psalm 78, where we started. This is a note-taking lesson. This will be good for you. When you're just not feeling quite up to it, you say, oh, I'm out here by myself. You could just take this and just read down through all of these and find out about God's love for you. Because remember, compassion is by implication to love. God is love. That's why he's compassionate. Notice Psalm 78, verse 38. But he, God, being full of compassion, notice what it required of God to do, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Because of God's compassion, he forgives iniquity. Blessed be the name of God. You can deny God through the day, deny him tomorrow, and deny him the next day. Forget that he is around. Get so caught up in our little world and our little problems that we forget God's there. But let me tell you, his compassion that he's full of will require him to forgive our iniquities because he's a compassionate God. He's not holding it over your head. Which then would require me, since he is demonstrating his compassion by implication love, he would require of me also to forgive iniquity. Look at Psalm 145, verse 8. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Notice this. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. His compassion compels him to be slow to anger. Many times we are quick to be angry, but God is very, very, very slow. You can think back maybe just on things that you've been struggling with for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The things that you have been struggling in to walk correctly in front of the Lord and you still don't quite have a hold of it. God's slow to anger. God hasn't gotten angry. He's very, very slow. He's slow. He doesn't get there fast. He doesn't get there to punish quickly. God just takes his time. Why? His compassion compels him to do it. So then by demonstration of this compassion, by implication to love, since we are to be an imitator, we should also be slow to anger instead of quick. I don't know about you, sometimes I get angry fast. But the demonstration of the love of God is to be slow. Now, he'll get angry sometimes, but he is really slow. Micah. Chapter 7, verse 18. And we're just going to put this one in and go into the 19th verse because it goes along with the last one, slow to anger. Verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Remember, mercy is one of the definitions of compassion, by implication love. So notice this, that God is slow to anger, but if he ever gets to anger something great, he doesn't retain it forever. He doesn't stay angry forever. Takes him a long time to get there, but if he does get there, he's not going to be angry with you forever. Over the years, I've had people tell me this. You don't see them for a long, long period of time. Sometimes years. And somehow you'll come across each other's path. And you'll get to talking with him. You'll tell him how great it is to see him. You'll pat him on the back. True stories. I mean, I could put it in any number of situations. And many times they'll say, well, I thought you were mad at me all this time. I said, mad at you? Why do you think that? Well, I just thought you were mad. If you're going to walk in love, you can't stay mad. You can't stay angry. Because love's description here is, he retaineth not his anger forever. It takes him a long time to get there, but if he gets there, it's not there for long. Why? Because he delights in mercy. God gets no delight in anger. We shouldn't get any delight in it. Get angry at people that did stuff years and years ago? Let it go. Let the love, the compassion of God manifest itself. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And delight in mercy. Delight in mercy. Let it go. Let it go. Be like the Father God. Now, some people need to know that. Takes him a long, I'm going to repeat it again because some people need to know it. Takes him a long time to get angry. But if he ever gets there, he doesn't retain it forever. That's the goodness of the Lord. Now, he's dealing with the nation of Israel here. Oh, brother. Now, verse 19. So you could put that in your little list too. He retaineth not his anger forever. Verse 18. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Notice what his compassion does. His compassions require him to cast all of the sin into the depths of the sea. You know what's so neat about that? It seems like every 3 or 4 months, you will hear how science has been able to go a little bit deeper into the oceans, and they'll find something. They've recently found an animal that they have never known existed before. In fact, I was reading an article 2 or 3 days ago about how many hundreds of new species of animals they have found in the earth in the last year. New species of monkeys, new species of butterflies, new species of jellyfish. Deadly jellyfish, the size of your little fingernail, transparent, and it will kill you in 20 minutes. Just has 4 little things. No one had ever seen one before. And a guy captured some. But every time they go deeper and deeper, they find something new, which tells me in the depths of the sea, there are things they'll never find. And where does God cast all of the sins? In the depths of the sea. In other words, they'll be there forever and never be found. Why? Because God's a God of compassion. God doesn't want them before him. God doesn't want the iniquity before people. God doesn't want them before you. He takes them and casts them. Amen. Now, this is symbolic. I'm not talking about the ocean, but it gives you the ideas of the depths that his compassions require the removal of them. Hallelujah. He will cast sins into the depths of the sea because of compassion. We then, if we're going to be imitators of God and his compassion and love, when somebody transgresses against us, we have to remove them to the depths of the sea and move on beyond that transgression. Or maybe we transgress against somebody. Maybe we do something against somebody. We would want them to show compassion on us and remove it from their consciousness. Amen? Wouldn't you want people to do that if you wrong them? Well, compassion compels us then to do that for others who have wronged us. Look at Matthew 9, if you would, please. Remember, compassion, by implication, the love. We're seeing how it manifests itself. Matthew 9. Faith works by this thing called love. Chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Notice, he was moved because of compassion because the people were fainting. The Amplified Bible says they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, rejected, and helpless. Bewildered, harassed, distressed, rejected, and helpless. His compassion moved him on the behalf of the people, because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, rejected, and helpless. Your compassion and my compassion ought to move us on the behalf of people because they're in the same state. Folks, why do we tithe? Why do we offer? Why do we see that there's a building maintained so that the word can go out? It's not only so our needs are met, it's because somewhere we have realized that there are people who are bewildered, people who are harassed, people who are distressed, people who are rejected, and people who are helpless, and we're providing a place where they can get needs met. Why? Because we're compassionate. People need to remind themselves occasionally why we do what we do. Why we provide for what we provide for. Hallelujah. This is how compassion, love, manifests itself. It's more than just giving you a definition. We get to see how it acts. Matthew 14, if you would, please. Verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He will move because of compassion and heal the sick. Matthew 20, 34 tells us the same thing, that he moves. His compassion compels him to heal. That's why I can never accept or never believe that healing has been removed from the redemptive plan of God, because his compassion still, because his compassion fails not. His compassions fail not. So this compassion that goes down this spoke to health has never failed. It will not fail. It's still available. Praise be unto God. He will move because of compassion and heal the sick. Matthew 15, verse 32. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Notice this. He will not send you to faint in the way because of his compassion. God's plan is not to get you born again by the preaching of the gospel and just turn you loose and faint, to become weak. If you're weak and you faint in the way, you are going to be susceptible to attack from all the wild hordes that the earth can produce. Listen, but God didn't do this so that we would faint in the way. His compassion requires that we are fed so that we don't faint, that we keep going strong in this life. Compassion. God's compassion will not allow us to be weak. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 27. Yeah, maybe we ought to read verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Notice this parable. It's given us insight into the compassion of the Lord. He will, because of compassion, loose you and forgive your debts. Because of compassion. By implication, love. Him showing mercy towards us. Blessed be the name of God. Mark 1, if you would please. Mark 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Compassion controls his will. The reason why God has given forth the will and he sticks to the letter of it is because of his compassion. Because if you find it in the word, it's going to be that way day after day after day after day, and you can always return back to it and it will manifest itself the same day after. And he has put that into motion because of his compassion. Because if he wasn't compassionate, he'd just lay it out there and one day it'd work and the next day it wouldn't. God, he's compassionate. And it controls his will. Mark 1:45. But he went out. Well, we got to start up earlier. Verse 44. And he said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. He's speaking to the leper. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now I want you to notice what we just read there. He demonstrates compassion even when it affected his life and ministry. It caused it to be a negative on his ministry because he couldn't go in there. He had to stay out in the desert places, but yet he still demonstrated his compassion no matter what it cost him. Love sometimes will cost you. It's a hardship on you sometimes. But love still acts, and compassion will still motivate us to do things even when there's a cost involved. You need to get that. Doesn't always turn out great for us here, but it'll turn out great for us sometime, someplace. Man, I'll never do anything else for anybody else. Now, can't be that way. Got to still keep putting out the compassion. Mark 5, if you would, please. Mark 5. This is heavy. Really heavy. We know that this is the demoniac in the country of the Gadarenes. We'll just go to verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus came, gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Notice this, that he does this act that we're going to find out is an act of compassion in just a moment, because he tells us it is. He does this act, and these people don't even want him in the area. They want him gone.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David. We will conclude this sermon next time we're together on the Light Church Podcast. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.